Hello, and welcome to the Built Different podcast with Zach Clinton. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. While there, you can join in the conversation about this show. Just search for Built Different Podcast in your internet browser. Here now are your hosts, Zach Clinton and Brooke Bryan.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to this edition of the Built Different Podcast. I'm Zach.
And I'm Brooke.
And it is so great to have you guys back with us today. Let me tell you something. We are joined by an absolutely powerhouse guest again, and my friend, Pastor Ted Cunningham.
Yep.
He is the lead pastor and founder of Woodland Hills Church in Branson, Missouri. He is a comedian, but also I really view him as just an unbelievable relationship expert.
Yes.
Just powerful when it comes to marriage and families and talking about things such as emotional closeness and how to really help your relationships flourish. And his big thing that I was telling Brooke before this is he has a thing called a love that laughs. And it is just such a beautiful thing of understanding at the heart of all relationships, we need to be able to laugh. We need to be able to understand that it's fun. We were made and built for relationship. We were made to love and be loved, ultimately, by God first and foremost, but then by others. And God places unique individuals in our lives to spur up within us something that is beautiful. And so many people, though, have been hurt. And I kind of want to go on this tangent for a second, Brooke. There's a lot of people that may be listening that, you know, they've been hurt in relationships. And so relationships are like one of the scariest things for them to understand.
Yeah.
But I want them through this interview and this episode to understand the necessity of relationships in our lives and how we really desire them at the end of the day. We were just talking about the greatest desire of every human being is to belong or to feel accepted.
Yeah.
Regardless of what we may say, regardless of what we say we feel, even if you are hurt by a relationship, immediately you want to be loved and valued and chosen. I know you have a lot to say about that, Brooke. So what are you thinking when it comes to that concept?
Yes, being valued and chosen is something that Pastor Ted is going to talk a lot about. And firstly, guys, you need to hear this interview.
Yeah.
When I was just listening to it back, it was such a gift to me.
Yeah.
And like you said, Zach, life is about relationships. Like life is relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And with God, with people. And so if you're in a relationship, and that could be an intimate relationship with significant other, it could be a best friend, your mom, your dad, whatever it is.
Yeah.
If you want to grow in that, if you want to change things in that, like this is the podcast you need to be listening to.
That's right.
Pastor Ted is about to just say some incredible things and just wisdom about relationship that I'm like, I listened to this over multiple times just because it was really life-giving to me, and actually sent it to my boyfriend Isaac too. So, but yeah, I think something that Pastor Ted really brought up that was so cool, which I'm so excited for you guys to listen to, is he brought up one word, one concept that is at the heart of every healthy relationship.
Yep.
This one word, and I'm not going to give it away. I know, I know, but no one likes a spoiler alert. He's going to talk about that in this interview, but that concept behind it is this idea of being fully known and fully accepted.
Yeah.
It's what every single person in the world is looking for in relationship, is just to be fully known and fully accepted.
Mm.
And when he was talking about that, it just reminded me of Isaiah 43, when the Lord says, like, you are mine.
And then even building off that, Brooke, then to verse 2 of Isaiah 43, it says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you.
Whoa.
And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. So even in the darkest moments, we were made for a relationship.
Yes.
We were made to be walking with God. And I just want to say, about Pastor Ted. He is so near and dear to my heart. I love this man to death. Mm-hmm. He has really like mentored me and stewarded me when it comes to relationships and really poured into me in some of the mm-hmm. hardest moments of my life, but also in some of the best moments of my life. And he has just been able to pour so much wisdom that both Evelyn and I have been able to soak up together, which has been beautiful for our marriage. And I take a lot of his teaching points and I try to apply them into my everyday life. So like Brooke said, this one word that he's about to mention that's at the heart of every relationship, that at the end of the day, I challenge you guys to write it down and try to create it more and more in all of your relationships. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you're single out there. This episode, I promise you, is for you too. Yes. It's not just for intimate relationships. We are all made for relationships. So please stay tuned. And I promise you guys, you won't be disappointed. That interview with Pastor Ted Cunningham will be coming up right after this short break.
Want to learn more from Zach? You can invite him to speak at your next event. Zach travels all over the nation, inspiring leaders young and old, from students to athletes, military personnel, and more. Zach is passionate about challenging others to push past their limits and lead a built different life. To book Zach for your next event, you can visit ZachClinton.com. That's ZachClinton.com.
Welcome back to the Built Different podcast. Here's your host, Zach Clinton.
Pastor Ted, thank you so much for joining us today.
Zach, I've been looking forward to doing this. We're doing this the week after your honeymoon.
I know.
Yes, I know. I have so much to learn from you.
No, it's the other way around for sure. Pastor Ted, what a blessing it is. We're here at the AACC Waymaker World Conference in Orlando, Florida. A lot of buzz, a lot of excitement, a lot of energy out there as we're about to kick things off. So just thank you so much for your time, first and foremost. I know you're a busy man hosting the event. But I want to say up front, you are one of my favorite people in the world. And I don't start off every episode like that. So
you're a compliment. You're very kind. And I have loved watching God work in your life too. And so I honor you, Zach,
thank you so much.
That God has for you and your marriage and your family.
Thank you.
And your ministry.
Man. Thank you so much. Seriously, you've impacted and influenced me in so many ways. So I'm so thankful for you and just for these moments that we're going to dive into love and relationships. But up front, we got to tell our listeners about your obsession with fishing, fly fishing in particular, and tell us about the trip. You sent me some pictures that were bragging rights up in Alaska. Tell us about that trip.
It was a dream trip. It was a fishing trip disguised as a couples retreat. That's how I got up there. We had 15 couples sign up, and it was on the Kenai River out of Soldotna, Alaska, and I mean, you could limit out on salmon every day by 7 a.m.
Goodness.
But I caught my record rainbow, 30-inch rainbow on the Kenai.
Wow.
And some will say it's a steelhead, but they said there are no steelhead on the Kenai. It is all rainbows. And so
goodness.
I'm going to have that one, have a replica made at some point, I'm sure. But
absolutely.
And you say it's an obsession. It's an obsession. No lie. I mean, it's that... I mean, your heart's racing, your knees start shaking.
That's it.
Yeah, because you have broken off a big fish.
Oh, yeah.
And so you know that defeat and sadness. And
it's heartbreaking.
It's the stuff that wakes you up in the middle of the night. So when you land a fish that size, you're like, this is something, we call it memories worth repeating.
That's right. Memories worth repeating. It's a massive fish.
Well, thank you, Zach.
You need to look up Ted Cunningham on Facebook, and you will see that fish anywhere you look. So
I'd be happy to send you pictures of it. Like if you just send me your number.
Pastor Ted, like I said, I really want to take this time to dive deep into the meaning and the power of relationship and love. And really, what is that all about? So, sir, that's what we're made for. Right? We're made to love and to be loved, first and foremost. That's what God put us on this earth to do. Mm. So it's so important. So can you just tell us up front, what is at the heart of a healthy relationship?
So my mentor, Dr. Gary Smalley, who's was a part of AACC for years before he went to be with the Lord 5 years ago, he would say one word.
Yep.
One word that makes for relationships, and that is safety.
Mm-hmm.
safety. And around that word, you have a lot of other words. You have honor, esteeming others as highly valuable. You have intimacy, being fully known and fully accepted. Mm-hmm. But through all of that, it's, I am safe with this person to be who God created me to be, to share my struggles and weaknesses, to have someone that's going to help me with that rather than judge me, critique me, beat me down with the information they get. I share with couples all the time who are trying to figure out why divorce is so painful. Well, one of the reasons divorce is so painful is because you have shared the most intimate parts of your life with an individual that you are now separating from. And when you do that, it's like they have incriminating information on you. And the reason you feel insecure, it's because you don't feel safe. Like, how is that information ever going to be used against me?
Right.
So think about the opposite of that in a relationship where you're sharing and loving and giving and receiving, and it's all in the context of safetiness. And Gary would say, without safety, you can't have honor. Without safety, you can't have intimacy. Without safety, you're never going to be able to be fully you with this person. And that's why, you know, Zach, your generation loves the words real, authentic, vulnerable, and transparent.
Yep.
But without safety,
there can't be any of those.
That's disaster.
That's right.
And that's why I tell young, if you're going to say, I just, like online, I hear it all the time, I want to be real, I want to be transparent, I want to be vulnerable, authentic, add the word discretion. Because it's why social media hurts so many people, is because you pour your soul out looking for validation online.
Yep.
A lot of people don't have the capacity to help you. A lot of people don't care.
That's right.
And so you're sharing. By the way, social media is not safe.
That's right. Yeah,
it's not a safe place.
That's right.
Share pictures of fish. I joke. I share pictures of fish because I can't always put my opinions out there because they get destroyed. But even now, pictures of fish make people mad. I'm trying to figure out what's going to tick you off about this. Well, the bottom line is it's just not a safe place.
Right.
So remember that when you post. And that's what you want in relationships. It's not just a place of safety, but I want to be safe.
Yeah.
This is as a pastor, it's as a husband, it's as a father. You know, I want my kids to be who they are. I want to walk alongside, and nothing they ever share with me is going to affect my relationship with them. I'm going to walk alongside them in that.
That's right. That's powerful because, like you're saying, what's at the heart of a healthy relationship is just that one word. Safety. And when I think about relationships in my life that are healthy relationships, people that I revere, that I respect, that I love, that I look up to, I feel safe in those relationships.
Yep.
And so, man, that's such a key point. And like you're saying, though, what can be disastrous, though, is when you feel unsafe in a relationship. Pastor Ted, what are some of the biggest challenges and struggles that you're maybe seeing in relationships in our society and culture today?
Well, in recent months, last couple of years, I don't know if it's through pandemic issues or what, but there's a resentment, a bitterness, a hostility. All of these are roadblocks to safety. And you may be bringing them from another relationship.
Right.
And so if you have unresolved anger from a past relationship, it will affect the safety of a new relationship you're trying to build.
That's right.
And this, and you know, we say unresolved anger is like drinking poison, expecting the other person to get sick. You never bury anger dead. You always bury it alive. So if you're holding something from a past marriage, from a bad relationship with parents, or even a boyfriend or girlfriend who broke trust with you, you know, and you don't resolve that, and you let that turn in, you let those seeds of bitterness take root, or resentment, and that unresolved anger just rests there, it will not just be a roadblock, it'll be a wall. That you will not be able to penetrate in order to have safety. If intimacy is being fully known and fully accepted, what you're saying is, in that past relationship, I was fully known, but not fully accepted.
Right.
So in this one, I'm going to hold back a little bit more. And now you're entering into it more reserved, withholding rather than giving, not wanting to fully receive. And even it, if you were to picture it, it'd be like stiff arming. You're just like, hey, I just got to keep you at a little bit of a distance.
Right.
Well, that's not safety. So you have to resolve that anger. And, you know, anger is a secondary emotion. You always feel something first. You feel controlled, judged, disconnected, cheated. abandoned, belittled. You know, you're always you have to process those primary emotions so they don't turn into that anger that you sit with,
right,
and you let just fester. You want to deal with it. But I see unresolved anger as the biggest barrier to safety.
Unresolved anger. And I love that you dove deeper into safety, because like you said, it's being both fully known and fully accepted.
Yeah.
Because without both of those, yeah, there is a lack of safety within a relationship for sure.
Yeah, and think about being fully accepted but not fully known.
Right.
Right. You know, there's, you know, you want both. As a pastor, I have to continue to pour my heart out, even when I know it's going to be rejected.
Right.
It's going to be, but I, when I preach, I don't need to feel the safety of a crowd or a congregation. Yeah. I have safety with some, but it's like I'm called to declare the word of God, knowing not everybody's going to accept this.
Right.
And if there's no acceptance of it, there's no safety. So I think we just have to, whether it's social media or if we're teachers, we have to understand relationships look different.
Yep.
And we need to stop taking the expectation of safety into relationships where there is none.
Pastor Ted, as we keep diving in deeper, one thing that you have found a passion for is laughter and comedy and humor. I mean, you're a comedian too by trade. That's what somebody needs to hear right now, and all of our listeners, you're hilarious. What have you found that laughter and humor and just keeping a relationship light and airy and fun, what does that bring to a relationship?
Well, laughter helps us cope. It helps us learn. It diffuses tension. Couples who use laughter to manage stress and work through difficult conversations, you know, not only report higher levels of marital satisfaction, but they stay together longer.
Right.
And I always like to remind the husbands of this. It's couples who use appropriate laughter in the appropriate time. And this is where men, we tend not to always get it. Timing is everything. So there's something that may just happened in your home or in your marriage that may be funny in a week, but it ain't funny right now. So you don't have to make a joke out of it in the moment. Hold that back a little bit and then go with it. But, you know, over the last 18 months, you know, we have not lost our sense of humor in the midst of a lot of difficult, you know, seasons and stages of life. And so my wife has a silent patriotic laugh. When she finds something funny, she places her hand over her heart. She leans forward, and nothing comes out. And I've watched her hold her breath for 15 minutes. We went and saw Jeff Foxworthy once, and he was doing a colonoscopy bit. I'm not kidding. It lasted 15 minutes, and my wife didn't breathe for 15 minutes. And I would tell you this, Zach, that you need to make it your goal to make Evelyn laugh.
Right.
Every single day.
Yeah.
And I would go not just a chuckle,
right,
but like belly laugh. and I tell people, I asked Amy this a couple weeks ago. I said, you know, I tell people I go for the belly laugh from you every day, but I don't always get it. But I said, I think I've been getting it every day. And she goes, yeah, you have. And now my wife's not easy to make laugh.
Right.
There's some, I mean, I have to work at it. I remember asking her one Saturday night before Sunday, I said, hey, I'm going to try a joke tomorrow morning. Can I tell it to you and you tell me if you think it's funny? And I told it to her, and these were her exact words. She says, I'll tell you in the morning whether or not that was funny. And I'm like, okay, I think that's my answer, but let's go ahead and give you a night to sleep. If you got to sleep on a joke, I would say you just get rid of that joke immediately. I would say this too about laughter.
Yeah.
It's not just something that keeps the marriage alive and enjoying life together. I have a comedian friend that's here at AACC with me, and he talks openly in his seminars about this, so I'm not sharing anything that he wouldn't, but he said after he went through his divorce, he had to go back and really think through when did we stop laughing together. And he says we forget that laughter is a good litmus test, and it's a good barometer of the marriage, because and I hear this a lot at comedy events, I can't remember the last time we laughed this hard. And that's a compliment, but it's also sad to me, because I'm always encouraging couples. If you haven't laughed this hard in a long time, I hope you leave here tonight and tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you're going to do this for an hour, but find your shared sense of humor as a couple. Make your spouse laugh.
That's right.
Like, I mean, dig in and go for it. And so to me, it keeps us going, but it's also, I have to sit back and pause a little bit if the laughter is slowed in our home, because that's a good warning sign. It's a good check engine light
Absolutely.
For a marriage. So
laugh and humor and having fun, they can all benefit a relationship and a marriage so, so much. Yeah. And that's important for our listeners to really hear and digest. Because like you said, it's a good stepping stone or being able to see where your marriage is at, where the relationship is at by how much you laugh.
Yep.
It's important. Another thing that is also big in relationships, right, in the marriage and family therapy world and mental health, is this term coined emotional closeness. Right? And so there's a lot of it, though, that we're seeing a lot of lack of emotional closeness, I feel like, in our culture and society and younger couples today, because you see a lot of absence, a lot of disengagement within families and homes, yeah. and a lot of couples are then bringing that into their marriages, into their own families. But Pastor Ted, what would you say, how can somebody grow more emotionally close or more intimate in that way with their spouse or with their family and their kids even?
Man, I love that, because emotional closeness flows out of safety.
Yeah.
And so as you process this, you know, there are factors and skills that help couples develop deep friendships, right. which is to me another way of saying emotional closeness. You're when you're emotionally close to someone, you and you have that deep friendship, you want to be with them, you want to spend time with them. You have no problem sharing tough stuff, knowing it's going to be received, and someone will even help you process through with that. But there are factors and skills for that that work in any season or stage of life,
right?
It's interesting that you said, I just noticed we're in a time, and I don't know how much of it is pandemic-driven and how much of it is technology-driven and how much of it is pace-driven of life. And now with a lot of people not returning to work, I often wonder how much of a lack of productivity. Like, have we lost our ability to connect with people?
Right.
You know, and so I call it going below the line. I the shallow levels of communication would be, cliche facts, just opinions where, you have with strangers on the street. But you want to get down below the line, that those deeper levels of intimacy or levels of communication, but also intimacy, where you want feelings and desires and needs and wants and beliefs, those messages that are written on the heart. When you get, we call it family of origin, but I call it the tablet of the heart, because you have thousands and thousands of messages written on your heart.
That's right.
And I love getting below the surface to figure out, what are those messages written on my wife's heart? What messages have I written on my children's hearts? That's when you know you're close to someone, when they're saying something or doing something, and you know the message of the heart that that's coming from. Every message has a story behind it.
That's right.
And I love to dig below the surface. And what does the scripture say? A person of insight, right? A person's heart is deep waters, and a person of insight or a person of understanding knows how to draw that out. That's emotional closeness. I have enough safety that I'm able to draw out what's going on in your heart, and I don't get bogged down in the shallows of opinions and facts. You've been with a couple in conflict where she says, well, last Tuesday, it wasn't Tuesday, it was Wednesday.
Like, well, it matter?
It doesn't matter.
Exactly.
I don't care if it was Tuesday, Wednesday. I don't care if you were at a store, at a grocery store. Those facts mean nothing. I get below the surface, and too many couples get slowed down, and that's why they're not close, is because they're not connecting heart to heart. They're connecting head to head. You know, it's about winning a conversation or a debate or a decision that needs to be made, rather than stepping in and find out, where is that opinion coming from?
It's good stuff. Pastor Ted, I love watching the way that you and your wife, Miss Amy, how you guys love each other, how you guys laugh together, and just the journey that you guys have taken in your own life. You know, having been married for quite some time and having this wealth of knowledge and whatnot, what would you say to somebody like me, who's brand new, newlywed, people that really are just stepping into this journey, right? What would you say to us? What are some helpful tips and tactics? But also, what would you say to me and some other people when you face times of just trial and tribulation in your marriage and you're fighting and you're frustrated with each other? How do you overcome that type of stuff?
Two things.
Yep.
Ooh, I love sharing this with every newlywed. Number one, what was natural early on must be intentional later on. So let me tell you what's natural for you right now, Zach.
Yeah.
Thinking about her. No one has to say, hey, Zach, have you thought about Evelyn today? Have you No, you're thinking about her. No one tells you you should spend more time together. Quality time is natural.
Right.
No one ever has to tell an engaged couple, you guys should, be together more. You should spend more time together. No one has to tell you to touch more. Right. That's natural. Complimenting one another, natural.
Yeah.
Praising each other in public, natural.
Yeah.
After you've been married 10, 20, 30 years, what was natural early on, or like breathing, you need to be intentional with later on.
Yeah.
So take what is all natural right now, put it down in your journal, and be intentional with it later on. And the cool thing about it, if you make it intentional later on, it can feel natural again.
That's right.
And so when you see the couple married 30, 40 years, and you're like, it's like they're like newlyweds.
Yeah.
We can begin to get this idea in our brain that, oh, well, they had a good match. You know, they got lucky. They found someone they're really compatible with. Or there's someone who made the decision to enjoy life together.
Yeah.
They were intentional with the factors and skills that lead to high levels of marital satisfaction. And they're not working on it anymore. We say too much in marriage ministry, marriage is hard work. Well, yes, it's intentional. You have to be intentional with the decisions you make.
Right.
But what was intentional for long periods of time can become natural again.
Completely.
But this is something I know about you, Zach, that I'm not worried about one bit. Every marriage is a duet in need of great backup singers.
Yeah.
And you got a ton of people around you.
Right.
That are ready to support your duet. And that we get that from the Daughters of Jerusalem in the Song of Solomon, where they say, we rejoice and delight in you. We will praise your love more than wine. You have a lot of people in your life.
Yeah.
But I would find the one or two couples that, I mean, really know you and rejoice and delight and praise your love, because this is where we started.
Right.
And you have safety with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the ones, I mean, you just had a wedding.
Yeah.
But I know there's a lot of people that were at that wedding that you have invited into your marriage.
Yeah.
We put a lot of emphasis on the wedding, but if you invite them in to speak into, and then you'll have to get good. The voices that are not rejoicing, delighting, or praising your love, you may have to turn down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be people throughout your marriage that you need to mute altogether. But the quality of a marriage really does rest in the quality of the people surrounding it too.
And I love
that. It can take a nosedive if you don't have good voices speaking into it.
I love that. What was natural early on, you must become intentional later on. And then also, every marriage is a duet. You need a bunch of backup singers.
Yeah.
Man, who is pouring into your life, into your marriage, into your relationship? Sir, one way that I kind of want to close out here for a second is there's also this relationship piece. I've heard it a bazillion times, right? Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship, right? But a lot of people, they can hear that, they can know that, but they can't really... they don't believe it yet, and they don't know how to grow in a relationship with the Lord, right?
Yeah.
What does that even look like to that person today who's really struggling, who's struggling in relationships here on earth, who's gone through so much pain and so much heartbreak, and they feel like they're out of the fight when it comes to certain people? How can they press in deeper into intimacy with God and then be able to press in deeper into intimacy with others?
And it's the same thing, safety. The gospel is completely safe. And I was actually, a therapist was talking to me after the workshop this morning, and he said, I spend my entire practice helping people heal the father wound, the mother wound, but lately I've been helping a lot of people heal the church wound.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of people who have been hurt by the church, and they think God is not safe. They think Jesus is not safe. And what is the gospel? That I continually bring my need to the Lord.
That's right.
My weakness. I this is why we can boast in our weakness.
Right.
I can confess my sin to him, and it is safe. He receives me. He hears my prayer. He forgives my sin. And so don't view the lack of intimacy you had with another believer and the church wound.
Right.
With how much the Lord loves you, cares for you, walks with you, and is 100, not 90%, not 99%, but is 100% safe. You can take all of that to him and be received, be welcomed. You're already valued because you're created in the image of God. Through creation, we bear the image of God. Through salvation, we become a child of God. And I want to always be a parent who is safe for my children to come to.
That's right.
And yeah, you will find intimacy if you begin with the clear understanding that the gospel waits for you, is there for you, repent of your sin, confess your sin, continue to repent of your sin, continue to lean in, and don't hold back. Don't hold back.
And I think that's what people need to hear, because like you said, there is safety in the relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is safety in that. And to live that John 10:10 life, the life more fuller, the life more abundantly, you have to view it as safe, because if you don't view it as safe, you'll never be vulnerable. You'll never open up, and you'll never be able to actually fully experience the richness and the goodness of God and that surrender lifestyle, because that's what it's all about. Yep. Pastor Ted, thank you so much just for what you do, for your voice, for the impact, like I said, that you've had on my life in particular, but on countless other lives across the world, across the country, in relationships, marriages. Everything that you do matters. I love you. I appreciate you. Thank you for your time, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, Zach, I love you, and I am a backup singer to you and Evelyn for sure. 100%. Rejoicing, delighting, and praising your young, budding love.
Thank you, sir. Man, everybody, what a just a powerful episode.
Yeah.
Just of so many amazing takeaways and things that we can learn and then apply in all the different relationships that God has placed and instilled within our everyday lives. You know, one thing, Brooke, that I know both of us want to talk about and share on that Pastor Ted really mentioned was he says what's natural early on in relationships needs to then be followed by intentional later on.
Yep.
And I think it's so important to understand that, man, it's easy up front in relationships, right?
Yeah.
Like you get this spark and something gets ignited within you and you get this love. And love, let me tell you something, love is intoxicating, right? You will do anything in the world to love and to be loved. And that's where a lot of mistakes honestly come in life, because that's the biggest desire, right?
Yeah.
Love, acceptance, and belonging. Yeah. And so we would do anything for it. So up front, it's super easy and it comes just so natural, like he's saying. But then what happens when, you know, the relationship's a year in? What happens when all these different things happen? And what you want to talk about a lot too, Brooke, and I know you're going to touch on this, is even how it affects our faith walk. And it can really be viewed in our spiritual walk with Christ, because it's not a religion, it's a relationship, but it's the same thing.
Yeah.
What's natural early on with God can very easily fall by the wayside, and it needs to be followed by intentionality.
Yes. I know. I thought it was so cool when Zach and I were talking about just this line, like this just powerful line about, you know, what's natural early on must be, we must be intentional about it later on. We were just talking about that in relationship. And Zach, I'm eager for you to share about the things that you do with Evelyn in relationship.
Yeah.
But we both just immediately unified in spirit and were like, this happens in our faith. The Christian walk, like you were saying, Zach, when you first become a Christian, your life is transformed because the Holy Spirit comes in you.
Yeah.
So you're like, I have never felt this way before.
You're so motivated.
Yeah, what is going on? And it's like this first love, this love you have at first, and you're so eager to spread the good news of Jesus to people, and you're eager to get in the Word and get up at the crack of dawn to just spend time with the Lord.
Right.
And as time passes and as you mature and grow, just some of those things become less just natural, like Pastor Ted is saying. And I think it's just so true, the same way that Paul encouraged the church of Ephesus, return to your first love, return to the love you had at first. We need to do that same thing. It's the same exact dynamic that Paul is pointing out here. Yeah, the church of Ephesus was on fire, but they need to return to that love, because it's natural to stay in that naturally inclined state to be just crazy, you know?
Yeah.
And like Pastor Ted said, when we do begin to be intentional about those things, then they again grow to be natural. And I think that's what's beautiful, that as we choose to change our behaviors and say, no, this actually is important to me. This is so important to me that I'm going to intentionally pursue it. That action changes our heart back.
Yeah.
It like, it's almost like getting in a time machine, and we're filled again with this love that we had at first.
Yeah.
And we can do those things by by spiritual disciplines, by just choosing, okay, I'm going to discipline myself to be in the Word, to be honest in fervent prayer with the Lord, to spend solitude time with Him, to confess to brothers and sisters around me. All these things will return us back to that first love by the Holy Spirit's power.
Mm. I think that's so powerful. And I think at the end of the day, something that just came to mind was, you know, we were ultimately, we have this desire for adventure, for unique, for new, for different.
Yep.
And so what we have to understand, though, is what happens is it's very easy to be ice cold or on fire for something, as Scripture's talking about.
Yeah.
But what God doesn't want is someone who's lukewarm.
Never.
No lukewarm believers, right?
Yeah.
But it's so easy up front because it's new and it's exciting, right?
Yeah.
And it entices us and it draws us in, that it's so easy to be just on fire for Jesus and have this spiritual high and be so red hot.
Yes.
But then all of a sudden what happens is day after day after day, we tend to just click the degree, the thermometer down just a notch, right? To not be hot anymore, we get almost warm because we view the same thing. We lose our amazement, and then it just becomes mundane. And I think mundane is a like a scary, scary place to be in any relationship. And that's what they always say, don't get used to it. And I challenge people, even in your walk with Christ, don't get used to the beauty and the miracles and just the wonder and the awe of that childlike faith. When you first heard about the gospel, when you first became a new Christian and a new creation in God, don't become mundane to it or dry to it. Please, 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 if you don't hear anything else, please understand and don't lose that amazement. And intentionality, something that Pastor Ted has always talked to me and Evelyn about in our own marriage and our relationship, is he talked about this one thing where he says, take a daily delay. And I think you can even apply this to your spiritual life as well. I just want to say that. Take a daily delay, which is time, intentional time together, to just be able to ask one another, check up with one another. How are you doing? How was your day? Something easy like that. But also in your spiritual life, take a daily delay. Get in the Word, right?
I like that.
Do a Devo. In communication with God.
Yes.
So a daily delay. Number two, a weekly withdrawal.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if you're in a relationship, intimate relationship, go on a date night, right?
Yeah.
If you're doing with some friends or some buddies, go hang out. Go watch a movie. Go do whatever you do together, that type of thing. With God, in our faith walk, I would say, get outside, go experience nature, go be somewhere that's intimate with God, just the two of you. That's not the ordinary, not just waking up and doing a Devo on the side of the bed. Go out somewhere else and experience something new with God this week. So a daily delay, a weekly withdrawal, and then the last one is an annual abandon.
Mm.
And so that, what Ted was telling me and Evelyn is like, go take a vacation together. Get outside of your local sphere, your local community, and just go get away and just go enjoy one another and each other's presence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's intentional. And I think you can apply that to even your faith walk of go somewhere far away and see what God's doing somewhere else.
Yes.
Not just here, right where you see in your own little bubble, but go see what God does somewhere else and how He's faithful all across the world, all across the country, whatever that is.
Yeah.
Go take an annual abandon to experience the fullness and the richness of who He is. And I think if we do those things, intentional living, it can be super difficult at times, but like you said, how we finish that, if we then go to intentional living, it becomes natural all over again.
Yes.
That honeymoon phase, that spiritual high, it never has to end.
Yes.
It never has to end.
And, oh man, you're getting me really fired up. And I just had this thought that if you're feeling right now that you don't have that faith that you had at first, that love that you had at first, and you feel like you need to reignite it.
Right.
What just came to me was, you need to be a doer of the word.
Mm.
I think it's easy, and I think the quickest way to become lukewarm is to merely be a hearer of the word. And the reason why I think that makes you lukewarm is that if we're not a doer of the word, then we're not even putting ourselves in a position that's extremely uncomfortable to show, like you were talking about, Zach, this amazement that we have for the Lord. Because say if we're putting ourselves in a position, we're going to be a doer of the word. Yeah. So we're going to go, and you know what? I see that person on the side of the road who's asking for food, and I feel the Holy Spirit moving like, Brooke, you need to go get them some McDonald's and tell them about the good news of Jesus and just talk with them for a little bit. If I actually become a doer of the word and I respond to that movement of the Spirit, that is where the amazement comes because I'm uncomfortable. Sure. So now I actually have to put my trust and faith in Jesus, not just in name, but in deed. And that is where the magic of everything happens because Jesus has to show up then. Jesus, I need you to protect me. I need you to speak through me. I need you to connect me to this person. And that's where that love is reignited, is in the action. Those who love me will do as I command. That's what the Lord says. And so if you need that reigniting, you're hungry for it, ask the Spirit for opportunities to do what the Lord commands.
So powerful. Someone reached out to me the other day. They were leading a devotional, and they literally asked me the question, hey, leading a Bible study tonight, I want to ask you something. What helps you the most when you feel distant from God, or you're just not on track, or not where you used to be feeling with Him, if that makes sense? And I think an easy passage of scripture that says it very straightforward is James 4:8. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. That's ultimately what it's all about. Sometimes we just have to stop, whether that's running from Him, whether that's choosing something above Him or prioritizing something else, and we just got to press in closer now more than ever. That's with God. That's with relationships too.
Yep.
Ultimately, God is always going to draw near to us, especially when we draw near to Him. But other times, sometimes we're drawing near to somebody that we love, and we're just not getting that same feeling. But I promise you, you will never regret choosing joy. You will never regret going and knocking on the door and saying, I love you. You will never regret sending a text message that's loving and kind. You will never regret those things. My dad always says that his mom always preached into him, son, kill people with kindness. No matter what comes your way, no matter how they may be treating you, no matter what relationship it is, just be kind, because you'll never regret it. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. You guys, we love you all so much. We will be praying for all the relationships that God has instilled within your life, specifically that relationship with Him, as that has definitely got to be in the forefront, in the center of all that we do. But as always, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you next time on the Built Different Podcast.
Hi there, this is Jessica from the Built Different Podcast team. As a reminder, you can listen to this show on your favorite podcasting platforms, such as Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. Whatever platform you choose, please remember to subscribe to the Built Different Podcast with Zach Clinton.